Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiowitz. Today we'll be studying Zechariah, Perek Tet, Chapter 9. Chapter 9 starts the second part of Zechariah, the second and the last. Chapters 9 through 14 are very different types of prophecies than the ones that we saw in chapters 1 through 8. Those were very specific. They were built into the time period of Shivat Zion, of the people coming back, rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash, establishing the leaders of Yoshua as the Kohen Gadol, and establishing also the kingship. It was a very dated type of Nivuah. Here, it's very different. There's no dates. There's no mention of specific leaders like Yoshua and Zerubbabel. They're broader. They sound future. You'll see that a lot of the commentaries say that they're referring to messianic times. So that's what we'll see from now until the end of the book. Okay, so let's begin. The first section is Psukim Aleph through Chet, verses 1 through 8. And the focus there is going to be the annexation, really, like the bringing in of other areas to Israel. So, Pasuk Aleph, Masa Devar Hashem, Be'eretz Chadrach, V'damesek Menuchato, Kila Hashem, Ayin Adam, V'chol Shiftei Yisrael. Okay, so there's a little bit of a debate how to translate this Pasuk, but certainly the word Masa is a prophecy. It is a word used very often when speaking about other nations, very metaphoric type prophecies. And the prophecy is that the terrain of Israel will expand and cities like Chadrach and Damascus, right, which is like northern territory, they will become part of Hashem's Menucha, meaning Israel will extend, because ki Lashem ein adam, right? Because everybody will be turning their eyes to Hashem, v'chol shiftei Israel, like all the tribes of Israel. So the territory will be expanded. Malbim, by the way, reads this a little bit differently. He says that what is going to expand, he reads it, the Davar Hashem is what's going to expand. Then we'll find that it's not the territory per se, but Devar Hashem ba'aretz chadrach v'damesach menuchato, that the word of Hashem, meaning prophecy, knowledge of Hashem, will be found also in territories like in Damascus. And he follows that through with the second part, because why will that be? Because all people will be turning to Hashem, not only Israel was located in Israel, in Yerushalayim, but also members of other nations. Okay, these psukim, the psukim that follow it through Pasuk Chet, list all the other cities that will also be part of, that will be annexed as part of Hashem's presence, continues with Tsur, with Sidon, in Pasuk Hey, Ashkelon, and Aza, for example, Pasuk Tere, Ashkelon, Vitira, Ashkelon will see and be afraid, meaning what will they see? They'll see what happens to the other cities of Tsur and Sidon. We know where these places kind of are, with knowing where Ashkelon and Gaza. They'll be very afraid. Ve'ekron, also Ekron. Ki hovish mebata, that all the hopes of these different cities, these other nations, will collapse. The avad melech me'aza, and there will be no kingship in Aza. The Ashkelon lo teshev, and Ashkelon will have no inhabitants. So this is kind of a twofold: a, that these cities will be destroyed, and also they will be places of Hashem's presence. Once we get to Pasuk Tet, we have a nevuah about the righteous king who will then come to Yerushalayim. So we'll read Psukim Tet and Yud, 9 and 10. Gili ma'od bat Zion, hari bat Yerushalayim. So Zion should rejoice. Yerushalayim will shout with joy, with glee. Why? Hine malkech yavolach. Your king is coming for you. And who is your king? Tzadik v'noshahu. Right? He is victorious. He is saved. He is tzadik. Ani, now how does he come? This is a very famous phrase that we're going to come back to. Ani v'rochev al chamor v'al ayir ben atonot. So he is going to be an ani, We'll have to define what that means. At first glance, ani often means poor, riding on a donkey, and then other synonyms we have afterwards for also for the donkey. And we continue in pasuk yud. What's he going to do? V'hichrati rechev me'Ephraim v'sus mi'Yerushalayim. He's going to chase away all chariots from Ephraim and all horses from Jerusalem. V'nichrata keshet milchama. And there will be no more of the the keshet, the bow of the warrior. It won't be there because it's unnecessary. V'diber shalom l'goyim. He will speak in peace to the other nations. If there's peace, there's no need for the weapons of war. Umashlo miyam adyam uminahar araf se'aretz. And his terrain, right, his rulership will be over from sea to sea and from ocean until the end of the land. Okay, so this is the coming of this Melech Tzadik, this righteous king, to Jerusalem. From Yud Aleph through Tet Vav, right, verses 11 through 15, then we have a call of those who are dispersed to return, right? All of those who have been exiled and they're sent to different places. Now there's a reaching out to them, like, you guys are going to come back. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Gam at bedam briteich, shilachti asirayich mibor ein mayim bo, right? Are now going to be released. You who have been in this boar, rake, ein bo mayim, this empty boar that has no water in it, right? Referencing, almost bringing us back to the Yosef story. And if we're talking about Ephraim, the exiled, right? That makes sense. Yosef is the father of Ephraim. And if those were if we're referring to the 10 lost tribes also who are coming back, then this is part of that. And why are you going to be brought back? Because of the dam of your brit, the blood of your covenant. And then pasuk yud aleph, what will we say to them as they come? Shuvu levitzaron, come back to the strength. I'm translating that kind of according to the commentaries. Come back to Jerusalem, which will be strong. Who should come back? Asire tikva, those of you who have been imprisoned. Asire hatikva, the prisoners of hope, meaning prisoners who all they had left was hope. Right, like hatikva, all we had was a hope. Now all these people are going to come back. Gam hayom magid mishna ashivlach. Right, so this day you will come back and you will be repaid double. And we end the parak ends with psukim 16 and 17, tet zayin and yud zayin. Bahushiyam Hashem Elokeim bayom ahu katzon amo. Hashem will save them like the sheep. They will be pastured like the sheep. Hashem is the image of the shepherd. Ki avnei nezer mitnosesot al admato. And the people will be like crown jewels glittering on Hashem's soil. So we have two images there of Hashem as the shepherd and also of the people as the jewels on the land, within the land. We're talking again about all the people who have been exiled coming back. And Pasuk Yud Zayin, the closing Pasuk, Ki matuvo umayafyo, because how beautiful it's going to be. Dagan bachurim vitirosh, you know, vev betulot, that the young men are going to be like dagan, like grain, and the young women will be like a new wine. So we end with this beautiful prophecy of prosperity. So just to kind of recap what we saw here, this is a undated, no leaders are mentioned, sounds somewhat futuristic. The first prophecy was of other nations being subdued and then annexed as part of Jerusalem. Then there's the callback to, before the callback, then we have the king of Yerushalayim coming, the Ani Rochev al Chamor. And then lastly, the callback to all the other nation, all the exiled people to come back, and the prophecy of the future prosperity. So looking back, I want to focus for a few moments on that, on the prophecy about this king that's going to come, because it's a very unusual descriptor, right? Remember we said that the king is going to come and he is ani v'rochev al chamor. He is an ani and he is going to be riding on a donkey. And there's a lot of discussion in the commentaries. Who is this king who's coming back, who is poor and he's riding on a donkey? What are we talking about? So, I mean, there are some approaches that this is actually referring, like Ibn Ezra, that this was a prophecy that actually happened in the Second Temple period. It was a prophecy about Yehuda HaMakabi, who was fighting the Greeks, or also mentioned here, which is doesn't exactly make sense. And this is, Ibn Ezra says this actually happened. But I would say that that's not the typical approach. Rashi, for example, says, who is this Malkich Yavola? Like, who is this king that's coming? Rashi says, Eif Charla Potro Ela al Melech HaMashiach. We can't explain this except for about the Messianic king. Why? How do we know that this is the Messianic king? Shnei Amarbo, because it said about him, Umashlo Miyam V'Adyam. It said that he will rule from sea to sea. V'lo Matzino Moshel Yisrael Kazeh. Be made by it, Cheney. This can't be a Second Temple Hasmonean king because that's not really somebody who achieved peace or who had rulership that was so spread out. So this has to be something that's about Melech HaMashiach. Now, why is he riding on a chamor? Why is he riding on a donkey? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about this and says that there were two visions of Ge'ulah. There's two ways that redemption can come. One way that redemption can come is if we earned it. And the Gemara says there, how is it going to come? In that case, it's going to come like the clouds of heaven, right? Like that the Savior, the King, the Melech HaMashiach, is going to come riding on the clouds of heaven. But there's another model that if we don't merit, redemption will come anyway, but what will the Mashiach look like? The Mashiach will be a pauper riding on a donkey. Okay, so that's one way to understand why this Melech, this king, is coming so oddly as someone who's poor and riding on a donkey. But there's other ways to read this. Rashi, who we mentioned before, who describes this about Melech HaMashiach, translates it differently, though. He says, Ani doesn't mean that he's a pauper. It means that he's an anav, that he's humble. And why does he ride on the donkey? He says, Midat anavahi. This is the type of humility that someone who's humble, chooses a donkey. The horse, on the other hand, symbolizes arrogance. So why does he ride on the donkey? He rides on the donkey to show his humility. By the way, if you go back to the laws of the king, one thing that the king is told that he can't have too many of is horses. So here is sort of like the anti-king. He is a king, but he's choosing to come ride on a donkey, not because he can't afford the horse, but because the donkey is a sign of his humility. Also, by the way, another possibility is that the next pasuk spoke all about peace. There will be shalom with the other nations. And a horse also symbolizes military prowess. It's the horse and the chariots. So riding on a donkey also symbolizes that there's no need for wartime equipment like horses. Later, the Hasidic approach took this a little bit differently and said, what does Ani Rochev al Chamor mean? It means that Chamor is not a donkey per se, but Chamor is Chomriut, which is materialism. And what is the ideal state that we will need to be Zocha, to earn the times of Mashiach? It's when a person can be humble and they can, a person of spirituality is then able to ride on chamor, chomriot, materialism, that the materialism will be something that we use only to enhance our ruach and our connection to Hashem, our connection to other people. But rochev al chamor is not saying that material wealth, materialism isn't something that is important, but it says that our role really is to be rochev al hachamor. We take the material world, but we use it in order to reach our goals and in order to reach our spiritual goals and our goals of connection, bein adam lechaviro and bein adam lemakom, to each other, to Hashem. And what better way to describe this? So first of all, this is something that everybody in the Hasidic view is working to achieve, not just the king. But what better way to describe the idyllic king as not somebody who is focused on power, right, which is the whole reason why Torah seems to hesitate about having a king, but the king would be somebody who takes all the material that they have and uses it in order to serve Hashem. The model this is setting it up is a model for a king, but it's also a model for all of us. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat Gilbert Carcenti Menachem Mendel Ben Saud.